Please join me in prayer. God revealed in fire, earthquake, and silence, reveal yourself to us now in the reading of your holy word. Amen. Our epistle reading this morning is from Galatians 2, chapter 2, verses 23 to 29. Listen for the word of the Lord. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be reckoned as righteous by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs, according to the promise. This is the word of the Lord.
In the text from 1 Kings that I'm about to read, Elijah has resoundingly put 450 prophets of Baal in their place, proving that God was God and Baal was not. And then Elijah slaughtered them. The mountain of God and the cave we're about to hear about are the very ones that Moses ascended to in the stories that are surrounding the Ten Commandments. This is a place of power, God's power and God's servants. Let's listen to the living word from 1 Kings 19, 1-4 and 8-15a. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came to a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left. They are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Most holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. May your spirit stir us afresh this day so that we hear what it is that you speak to our hearts. In your son's precious name we pray. Amen. Whenever I think of power, my mind heads to one of two places. One is corruption of power in so many leaders, and the other is failure of power, like electricity after a storm or an unexpected oops. Why do failures leap to mind first? Power is a tricky thing. After preaching on this text last time, or before, as I was preparing to preach on this text the last time, I sent the title to my office admin, and she was going to put it in the bulletin, and it was Power Failure. And guess what? Then my email and my radio all went silent. AT&T had lost power to one of their major cell towers. This time, after I hit save on the sermon I was about to preach, suddenly the skies blackened. Anybody see that this week? Yeah. 80-mile-an-hour flatline winds shut down Dulles Airport, knocked over trees, and yes, caused power outages. Be careful how you use God's living word. No more sermons titled Power Blip. No. Maybe the reason that we jump to outages and failures is they jolt us out of our normal everyday routines. Like Elijah, we have to listen to the world in a different way. Suddenly, the phones get quiet. Abruptly, the power that cools us and heats our homes shuts down. That power that we rely on disappears. The outages force us to perceive the world in different ways. Notice things that we assume or that we might take for granted. Our ordinary is disrupted when the power structures are jostled. For the past few Sundays, we've talked about the start of the Christian church and how Jesus worked to assure his followers that they were not to be left alone. While it looked different, it looked like God was gone. The miraculous thing is that in this time after Pentecost, it's actually the opposite. Jesus was sending the Holy Spirit, and a power was breathed into each and every one of us. Rather than alone, we are inundated with God abiding with us. Even more intimately, inside, a personal power. So how do we carry that with grace, with mercy, and with love? Where are our power structures that enliven and define us as a church, the body of Christ? This week has been particularly busy in the life of our congregation. How many of you were here on an unexpected day this week? I know there's more hands out there. All right. Rather than an empty office on a holiday, the halls were full. They were echoing with the love of VBS preparation. They were echoing with building maintenance and radiators being ripped out. Thank you, Carl. They were echoing with all of the deacons and the circles and the prayer shawl ministry setting up for a reception for a memorial. How many of you are ready to do that all again this week? Regularly, every week. This is church, and yet our leaders can probably relate to Elijah. Oh, nobody's hunting us down after we've come in, but we are coming off the peak of a busy week where we showed the Spirit of God in this place and in our midst. Surely Pastor Laura doesn't want us to do that every week, does she? We're a small church, and there's nobody else who can step forward and lead. Pam and crew can't cook for us all summer every day, can they? Elijah feels like he is the only one. He is left alone with his faith to do the work of God. We finish the work, and then it's time to rest. Well, okay, those of you who stood up front for VBS don't get to rest quite yet, please. And that's okay. But God's power doesn't let go or dissipate after we come off of those mountaintop big effort experiences. Elijah has distinctively displayed God's amazing power, but the powers of the world would not let him go. He's running for his life and feels all alone. Yeah, he's outright whiny about it. I'm the only one left to carry on this important mantle of God. We see this in prophets often, and maybe in ourselves. We get discouraged, almost cyclically so, after the biggest successes. We wonder, is this it? Am I alone in this task? Think about Jonah, or Moses, or maybe you individually, after you've served as a church or as a community leader. After all the hard work, is it still all up to you? We see this in our elders. What's the point if it's me alone, if I'm doing it again and again, we might ask. Sometimes we get those feelings of deja vu where the same thing seems to happen over and over. What are you doing here, Elijah? Twice we hear Elijah's answer. I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altar, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Elijah has had enough. He proved beyond a doubt that God was God, where Baal was a sham. And then he slaughters the enemy priests and is fleeing for his life. Why is the human response slaughter again and again? Elijah knew this wasn't God's answer. Elijah had proven God was God already. Why then that next step of killing all the priests of Baal? Elijah thought he was zealous. He felt like this was a big win. And yet the cycle of death and war was perpetuated. Notice, God loves us anyway. God doesn't chastise Elijah. He definitely redirects his efforts as a prophet, but gently and caringly. God feeds him, sends an angel to walk with him, and then Elijah gets a message in the wilderness. He encourages him twice on his journey. He makes sure that he eats and he rests, until finally, Elijah arrives at the cave. This location was no mistake. Here is the place where Moses saw the burning bush, and like the flames that Elijah saw, consumed an offering, as opposed to the failure of the prophet of Baal to call that fire. God did speak to Moses there. Then he was given tablets. The earth shook and the mountains trembled. All the stops were pulled out. That's what the spectacle we expect, the one we got with Moses. But too often we think that's the only way. The grand experiences might be the only time we encounter God. These big gestures, the giant pageants, the Easters, the Christmases, the memorial services, when we all come together, this is where we are easily see God. We must take care to see God in the ordinary. The longest season of the year is called ordinary time. God's power is anything but ordinary. But we do need to look for it more closely. We need to expect the power showing up in the silence. When our leadership structures fall short, when our traditional resources and power fail, where is the power? Being zealous has kind of taken on some negative undertones of being too adamant to the point of ridiculous fervor for a cause, browbeating others until they agree with your stance or they see the amazing God that you follow. But instead, being zealous is not giving up when we mess up or the world seems no longer to make sense. It's stretching unused muscles. It's relying on one another. Remember, each of us has been given that flame of the Holy Spirit, and we are a dwelling place where the Spirit rests inside each of us, empowering us for the work of God. The dearly beloved traditions that are a high point in our faith year, they do have their place, and they carry important value. And yet, that's not all there is to it. On the breeze or in a still, small voice, God speaks to us with the same intensity and power. And God has as much to say in the ordinary, even when the ordinary might feel jerked off course. We don't completely dispense with the grandeur and the big celebrations where we do pull out all the stops. But we can't forget how we are called to carry this amazing breath of God of the Holy Spirit in the ordinary. How do we wield that power? Is an outage imminent? Do we live from power blips to surges? Or are we steady in the ordinary, carrying God to the world? If we have to see a burning bush every day, we're missing God in the little, in the mundane, and in the ordinary. Shortly following this reading, God shows Elijah that there were 7,000 people waiting to help him and to pick up the power. Faith is not something that we do alone. The power is an ebb and a flow. This summer it might be an energizer. It might be a VBS song or lesson. It might be a surprising move towards peace and a small, still voice. How do we discern what to do with power in our very bones? Alex Rogers defined it well in an online discussion. Discernment is asking God to help us sift through our thoughts and feelings to notice where the Spirit is up to something. Discerning what we're called to do with power is hard work, not just of the leaders, but every child of God. The corrupt power that Elijah stood up to didn't go away after his grand display. The tasks of the church and the world are still there. God provided nourishment, and God did not rebuke Elijah for fleeing and needing a break. God spoke softly through the silence, calling attention to the day-to-day, to the needs for embracing the power of God, a power of unconditional love and mercy. And God pointed Elijah to others who could pick up and take the charge on after him. God reminds us as well of those who are all around us to help in this ordinary, everyday power struggle. Faithful together, we can do more than we imagine. The flow of our past week as a church together, from memorial to ordination and now to VBS, points us to how we are better at doing this together. Mourning, nurturing, and calling are all a part of us being God's resurrection people. It starts in the stillness and calls us to hear God's voice in many different ways. All of the people are welcomed in prayer. They're fed at the table, challenged to dig deep, learning from God's word. We study together, we pray together, we sing and praise. We care and we go on mission. How are we God's people together, letting the power of the Spirit nourish us and send us forth, ignited by a powerful God? Rather than moving from burst to burst, we let it flow. So let's sit and spend time with God. Listen in some new ways and stretch your comfort zones. In the cacophony of the world, hear God's small, still voice, calling you to that next thing. To exercise the power for the widow, the orphan, and those around you in need. They are depending on you. Swing the definition of zealous to once again be something that fights corruption and shares power evenly with all God's children, opening us to a world where loving Father is known by all, where no child will ever wonder where that next meal might come from, and nobody goes years without knowing their worth and their dignity. Work for a day when failures are no more, and all are bathed in the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing deep within God's love. And Paul's words, "There is no Jew nor Greek, there is no slave nor free, there is no longer male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." It doesn't require a bolt of lightning, a flashy display, or a loudspeaker. It's a little whisper on the wind. God is not bound by where we expect God to show up, but God is beyond in amazing and abundant and fulfilling ways. Look within. Nurture the spark. Hold it precious. Take a Sabbath. Take a rest and do some self-care as much as you nurture others. This will allow that power to shine forth more brightly in the storms of the world. And remember, you are never, ever alone. God is with you, and maybe there's 7,000 or so others waiting in the wings in hope and in faith. We go together, and God goes with us. So carry that love to the world. Steady on. Amen.